On this second Sunday of Easter, we join Jesus and the disciples for a breakfast on the beach and receive our final charge from the risen Christ. Let us stretch our imaginations, cross time and space to hear this story again, as if for the first time. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them. "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's Jesus." When Simon Peter realized that it was their teacher, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was Jesus. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, teacher, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." He then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said it a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Teacher, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth right now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go." He said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." The good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks. Will you join with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your holy sight. Amen. In the post-Easter season, the Easter stories come round, and never have I heard the one we just heard read quite so beautifully. Thank you, Elizabeth. It was exquisite. In Little Gidding, T.S. Eliot promises, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." Today, Peter arrives where he started and knows the place for the first time. 3 years prior, at the start of Jesus's public ministry, for us, 7 weeks ago at the start of Lent, after an exhausting night of failed fishing, a stranger on the shore named Jesus instructed Peter to cast his net on the right side of the boat. What foolishness, Peter might have thought. He knew the waters were empty. He had fished in them all night. He and his friends had been out to no avail. Perhaps to prove the stranger wrong, perhaps to mock the stranger's confidence, perhaps because he was just too tired to argue, Peter did as Jesus instructed, and the full haul he brings in changed the course of his life. And today, we are back on that shore, and in that boat, after another night of coming up empty. And at dawn, a stranger on the shore again appears and says, "Children, you have no fish, have you? Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast the net and were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. Like the two from Emmaus who recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread, like Mary at the tomb who recognized Jesus when he called her by name, the beloved disciple today recognized Jesus in the command to cast and catch. Peter, enthusiastic, impulsive, expressive, and wonderful Peter, gets dressed. An intriguing and important detail, and jumps into the sea and swims to shore. Peter's urgency tells us that he longs to be with Jesus again. Does he want to apologize for falling asleep in the garden? For asking Jesus to wash his whole body rather than just his feet? For denying him three times? We don't know the motive, but we do know the eagerness. On the shore, there is a fire and some warm bread. Jesus invites Peter to bring some of the fish that you have caught. Peter gets back into the boat and hauls in the mighty catch of 153 large fish without tearing the net. Together they have breakfast, and the text reminds us this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. What comes next is an amazing conversation between Jesus and Peter. Much has been made, and rightly so, of the threefold structure, the threefold repetition of question, response, command. Three times Peter denied even knowing Jesus, and three times in this conversation, he is invited to profess his love for Jesus. He is commanded to tend and to feed the flock. It's just that simple and a whole lot more complicated. To begin with, though the narrative in the text refers to Peter as Peter, Jesus' chosen name for him, in the dialogue, Jesus calls him Simon, son of John, not Peter. Has Jesus lost faith in Peter? Has the nickname been revoked? We don't know, and we wonder how it might have sounded to Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Who are these? What are these? Do you love me more than these disciples? No, that's not it. Jesus does not pit people against people. Love for Jesus is a commandment, not a competition. Who then, or what, are these? Do you love me more than these 153 large fish? In other words, do you love me more than your livelihood? Do you love me more than your wealth before you? Peter is not the first to walk away from wealth, from his livelihood, to follow in the way. And he responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And the command comes, "Feed my sheep." A second time, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" The response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," is again followed by a command, "Tend my sheep." The repetition of the English word love, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," is absent in the Greek. What seems perfectly aligned in the English in the first two exchanges is out of sync in the Greek. Jesus and Peter speak of different types of love. The word for love that Jesus uses is agape. Agape is considered the highest form of love. It is unconditional. It is sacrificial. It is divine. Peter, on the other hand, uses the word philo, the love that is shared between affectionate brothers and sisters, between siblings and closest friends. It's where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly and sisterly love. In the first two exchanges, Jesus asks one thing of Peter, agape. Do you have agape for me? And Peter responds with another, I have philo for you. The third time, we are told that Peter felt hurt because Jesus said to him again, do you love me? Except it wasn't again. Because this time, Jesus meets Peter exactly where he is. For he did not ask him, do you have agape for me? Instead, Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you have philo for me? The response, Lord, you know everything. You know that I have philo for you, is followed by the command, feed my sheep. Truly, Jesus does know everything. He understands who Peter is and who he will become. He understands that by becoming a spiritual shepherd, by tending and feeding the flock day after day, week after week, year after year, his love will deepen. His love will evolve from that of Philo, from the love of closest friendship and care, to that of agape, to love that is unconditional, sacrificial, and divine, to love that, like a shepherd, will lie down its life for its friend. And in the end, Peter's discipleship took him all the way to Rome. Along the way, he fed and tended the flock. He preached and nurtured young congregations. He raised funds and settled difficult disputes. And at the close of his life, sentenced to death by Nero, Peter died upside down on a cross, as he did not consider himself worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. Jesus sees in Peter what he cannot yet see in himself. Have you had that experience? When someone sees something in you that you cannot see in yourself? When someone believes in your future at a moment when you find it hard, really hard, to believe in your future? Perhaps you have been the person who has seen in someone else something they didn't know they had, and your faith, your belief in them, transformed their life. What if today, just for a moment, we focused not on our faith in Christ, but in Christ's faith in us? What if you dared to believe that Jesus will meet you right where you are at this moment in your life? This moment, right now. And just as Jesus will meet you right here, right now, in this moment, he will also see clearly the ways in which your faith will grow and your love will deepen. Think of how it has already evolved since you first believed, since you claimed the faith as your own, and know that it is not over. It was true for Peter. May it be for us as well. Amen.